Hi, I'm Stephen John Drew from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network. Just like the show you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Agent Haley.
Welcome to Legends of SHIELD, a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. Number 133, discussing X-Men the Animated Series story arc, The Phoenix Saga. This show is recorded on Wednesday, July 6th, 2016. Legends of SHIELD is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of SHIELD, Marvel's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and, yes, I'm going to do it, Luke Cage on Netflix and the general Marvel comic universe. Because Gene!
If you'd like to talk to us about Gene, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com, where you'll find all of our contact information. You can send us a voicemail to 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr by searching for Legends of SHIELD. You can also check out our network's YouTube page, www.youtube.com/GunnaGeek. And you can visit our network site, GunnaGeek.com, where you'll find all of the other great podcasts on the network.
So, we're back talking about more X-Men cartoons.
Because we can't help ourselves.
We cannot help ourselves. And we're also going to be checking back in with our giveaway, which there's not much time left on that. We're going to be giving it away, what, July 20th?
Yes. So, 2 weeks from when we're recording, probably like a week and a half to a week from when you're listening. Unless you're behind on your podcast, then you might have missed it.
Yeah. So this is why you should listen on time to get the sweet, awesome swag that we give away. But we are going to be giving away the Marvel Collector Core Women of Power crate. And how can people get this?
Well, we've all become very much aware of the fact that in the films, most of the characters we're getting right now are men. So we wanted what your idea of a gender swapped character might be. So what character would you gender swap and who would you cast for the role? And for this particular contest, it's male to female gender swapping. And we got another entry this week from Milwaukee at Critical Tiger on Twitter. He said, I tried to stay within Marvel Maids MCU, but I keep going back to Sigourney Weaver for Professor X.
Ooh, he provided a picture too?
Yep, from Alien 3.
Yeah, I mean, first off, she's got the bald look going on. Mm-hmm. And second of all, she's got the, you know, I am in charge and you will listen to me thing going on.
She's got the Sigourney Weaver thing going on.
Yeah, I guess we could just, you know, call it that, right?
Right.
So you have just a couple more weeks to get back to us and win this awesome thing that I am incredibly jealous of. So get back to us. You know our senses of humor. You know what we like. And we look forward to hearing from you. And remember, it needs to be done in a way that we can go back and check on, like Facebook, Twitter, calling us, emailing us. Because if you just happen to pop in into the chat on the days we do live chat, we will forget.
Yes. It's probably too late to send your carrier pigeon off. So I would choose a faster method of communication at this point.
So with that out of the way, I guess we're on to the episodes.
Yes. So we start off with part one, Sacrifice. And this entire series was written by two brothers, Michael Edens and Mark Edward Edens. Michael Edens wrote parts 1 and 3, and Mark Edward Edens wrote part 2, 4, and 5.
Yeah, I did not realize they were brothers, but then again, I kind of didn't check until now. And looking at some of the other stuff that they've written, they wrote a lot for just a lot of the cartoons that I kind of glanced at throughout the years, like stuff like Exo Squad, Beetlejuice, which I watched a lot of, which was also on at about the same time. The Real Ghostbusters, which I loved, but which also terrified me because I was scared of everything as a kid. Young Hercules, again.
I kind of love that show.
Yeah. Yeah, recently, Michael Edens has been involved in some documentary shorts about, like, The Real Ghostbusters. So that's, you know, going to be kind of cool for people who are fans of that to go back and check out.
And then Mark Edward Edens, they have a lot of the same shows in their IMDb history. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Spider-Man, Young Hercules. I feel like there was another big one in there.
Yeah, I'm checking.
A lot of the 90s cartoons.
Oh my god, this guy worked on Little Shop, which was the animated series based on Little Shop of Horrors. It was like a high school student version of Little Shop of Horrors. It was pretty terrible, and I think it only ran for like 13 episodes.
Awesome.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it. But yeah, I can't hold that against him.
Yep, so that's the writing team. Let's start at the beginning. Charles Xavier waking up from his scary, scary dream and calling everybody to the war room that he has in his school.
Okay. I mean, I guess things are different if you're psychic, but...
You guys all have to steal a spaceship because I had a bad dream. That's how it works.
I mean, just, wow. Guys, I had this dream about a space battle. I'm going to need you to sneak into this top secret government facility and to break in and go to space with no training.
Right. Make sure the little one gets arrested while you're at it, would you?
Yeah. Make sure the underage kid gets arrested. And this plan is even less thought out than the main plot of Armageddon.
No, they explained it like, you know, flat hand fist, boom. Totally makes sense.
I mean, again, at the time, it made perfect sense to me when I was like 10 or 11, however old I was when this episode came out. But I get they must love and respect the guy to just kind of, oh, I had this nightmare. Go do this. Okay.
He's not like, you know, I had this dream. This is what's going to happen. He's like, I had this really bad dream. I don't know what's going to happen, but you guys should totally go to space.
Which Cyclops totally calls him out on later. And Professor X goes around acting like Cyclops is the unreasonable one here. And everyone's like, yeah, Cyclops, calm down. Dude, what? I'm kind of on Cyclops' side here. This was just... Anyway, moving on past that particular weirdness, they break in to NASA, which I wish we had had SP watching this with us, because I would like his take.
His two cents.
Yeah, like everything involving NASA and spaceflight in this episode. Because I'm not an expert, but I've been to NASA. I've been on the like super awesome tour because family member.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing like that. And I've, you know, seen the inside of some of the stuff that they're working on. Nothing like that. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can't just be like, oh, I've flown this before. I can fly everything. I mean, there's a reason that you train for, like, a long time on how to do this stuff.
Well, they left the one pilot guy.
They left the one pilot guy, but no, even later. I know it's, like, an episode or so later, but when Cyclops is like, I can fly the Blackbird, I can fly this.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they totally knock out a bunch of astronauts and take their suits.
Those guys have been training for 2 years for this mission.
And I don't even know how that suit fits on Beast, because he's just, I mean, all these people are all different shapes and sizes, so they just steal everybody else's suit. Okay, okay, whatever. And then Beast, who is literally like three times the width of somebody, like the broadness, and he fits in one of these just
the boots aren't gonna fit him. He's got like ape feet.
Yes, like that's his thing. Even before he was blue, he had gigantic hands and feet.
Yeah, so he should be, like, busting out of those shoes.
Yeah, he, you know, has to, like, duct tape them, and even then, he still gets horrible frostbite or whatever.
It's like bad stuff happens.
Yes, bad stuff will happen. But they go, they Grand Theft Auto the space shuttle.
Only to find out that the space station they're going to has already been Grand Theft Auto'd.
It's a double Grand Theft Auto. And I remember, during this whole time, Professor X is getting these... You know, dreams about this person who, okay, was it just me, or did that spacesuit look like a bug? Looked like a praying mantis's head.
Yes. That's what I thought.
The whole time, when I was little, I was like, there's a praying mantis bug alien that's trying to, like, get help from the professor. And it's not at all what it is. But every time I see it, that's all I can think of.
Okay. I can't remember. Some of the X-Men were stowaways, right? Not impersonating crew members?
I don't remember, actually. That would probably explain Beast.
Well, I'm just thinking, they're usually pretty careful about calculations for fuel and stuff, so I would think throwing extra people onto the space shuttle would mess that up, but, you know, whatever. It's a Saturday morning cartoon, fine.
The thing is, okay, they make really, really, like, stringent weight calculations on missions like this.
Right, because, you know, the more weight there is, the more fuel they have to take, and the more fuel they have to take, the more fuel they have to take.
Yeah, like...
It's an exponential curve for how much fuel you need, so they don't want to, like, overcalculate and take a bunch of extra fuel because it costs way more than just a couple extra gallons.
Yeah, it's not like a small thing to have the weight change on here.
So if we've got like 300 pounds of extra crew, that's kind of a big deal. But whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, this whole arc here reminds me of how much Beast said fascinating for the whole show. It was like, okay, don't know how to write Beast? That's okay. Just write fascinating every other sentence. You'll be fine. When my sister and I used to play X-Men and, you know, I was Rogue, she was Storm.
Right.
And we would play like, you know, all the other X-Men were just hanging around like invisible because we were kids. And anytime Beast would be around, whoever was supposed to be Beast in that moment would be like, fascinating, fascinating. And that would inevitably get hit by the other one because we would just get so sick of it.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah. Also, Jean and Cyclops almost get sucked out the airlock, and it was kind of cool.
If only, if only.
If only. Somewhere, Laura Roslin is shaking her fist at a missed opportunity.
They're not entirely human. I'm pretty sure she would be anti-mutant.
So, end of the episode.
Jean has to make a heroic sacrifice.
Yeah, she's like, I have to fly the space shuttle. Because I could use my telekinetic powers to shield us from horrible solar radiation and stuff.
And she totally can't do that.
She totally can't do that. But, you know, Deus Ex Machina, whatever. And while she's doing this, the Phoenix... Dun-dun-dun. The Phoenix. So they go and they crash in, like, the Hudson at the beginning of the next episode.
Right. So that brings us to part two, the Dark Shroud. And it picks up where the last one left off. Jean becomes the Phoenix, gets sweet new clothes, and then passes out.
Yes, this starts the endless cycle of Jean changing clothes in like a Sailor Moon-esque, you know, transformation sequence, being on fire, going, I am Phoenix, and immediately passing out.
The most powerful force in the universe.
Bleh.
Gets the vapors.
Again, this is why I hated Jean growing up. Just so dramatic.
Also, for whatever reason, they chose to not give her a secret name.
No.
She's just Jean Grey.
She's just Jean Grey.
Even though in the comics she was Marvel Girl. I don't know if she got another name later, but...
I think then they changed her to Phoenix after this whole, you know, debacle. For her, I mean, for the fans, it was like, oh my god, this is awesome. And then for her, it's like, wow, my life is ruined. Especially here when they make it kind of clear that like, oh, she's being inhabited by this weird cosmic force because she keeps being like, this body, blah, 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 blah. Am I Jean? Blah, 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 blah.
And then Xavier gets a thing too. And he gets a sweet new cape.
This might be one of my favorite episodes just because it gives us evil Xavier, who is less evil and more a complete dick. Like, he's just going around messing with X-Men. And he has this big purple cape. Because apparently when you turn into a dick, you need a big purple cape.
Right.
And, like, his astral projection is just floating around with his big purple cape messing with X-Men. Like, Wolverine's taking the subway. And then all of a sudden, Xavier makes him see things. Including, like, Deadpool and stuff. And Beast is gonna go, you know, just hang out with Wolverine. Wearing a Howard the Duck shirt, might I add.
I saw that.
And here comes Xavier to mess with them. And Gambit and Jubilee are going to the movies. And here comes Xavier to mess with them.
And we also get to see Gambit's sweet ponytail.
Yes, Gambit's totally sweet ponytail and scarf. which initially I thought was his ponytail. I was like, the hell, his hair's not that long. But no, it's just a brown scarf draped artfully over his neck.
He looks so 90s.
Everything about this looks so 90s. It's amazing. Yeah, then you find out, oh, it's not really, Xavier's not really there because Wolverine can't smell him. And yeah, it's just his unleashed evil jerk side floating around and being jerks. Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, this isn't really happening. They're just making you think this is happening, which means that the X-Men are just kind of throwing themselves around in public like something out of freaking Fight Club. And I really wish we'd gotten to see that, like from just some complete outsider's point of view. Like,
I'm surprised we didn't. They didn't like cut back and show us all these things without Xavier there.
Like Wolverine just throwing himself around. I mean, come on. It's wonderful. Picture it. You're picturing it, and it's great.
And then Xavier goes to Mirror Island.
Yes, where we get so, so many terrible accents.
Moira McTaggart.
Oh, God. And then Xavier, he's like, oh, maybe a good makeout session with Moira will help. Nope, she's moved on. She's with Banshee. Dun, dun, dun.
But then his space girlfriend shows up with her amazing hair.
But then so does Juggernaut. Dun, dun, dun.
Because Juggernaut's a jerk.
Juggernaut's a jerk.
And he heard there was another magic crystal in town, so he had to see what was up.
Because Juggernaut is all about magic crystals.
Marvel Comics is all about magic crystals.
It kind of is. Marvel, like, lives and dies on magic crystals. I mean, and transistors and magnets.
More MacGuffins than you can shake a stick at.
Than you can shake an Infinity Gauntlet at. Which is in itself a MacGuffin, so...
Meta! It's a MacGuffin made up of MacGuffins.
So, yeah, the space girlfriend shows up, and they didn't. I was hoping they'd go into it. So, Lalandra shows up, the space girlfriend, who is not a bug. She is a lady in a black bathing suit and thigh-high boots, and she has a sideways mohawk going on. And the thing is, she is of the Shi'ar Empire. They're aliens who are descended from birds. Her hair is feathers. And I wish they'd got into that because Xavier has him a crush on a bird lady.
If you look closely, she had the weird, like, fuzzy arm look thing going. So I guess that was more feathers.
But they never explain it. And I was disappointed. I think they explain it in, like, a later episode or something. And they definitely explain it in the comics.
But no, she's just a strange-looking person.
A strange-looking person in a bikini who climbed out of that weird bug astronaut suit. And she's like, oh, I'm here, and I love you across time and space. And then Juggernaut kidnaps her.
It's kind of his thing.
Yeah, and then he, like, leaves, and then...
Well, that takes us into part three, Cry of the Banshee.
And Moira and Banshee come in, flying in off of Banshee's embarrassing yawn. I mean, scream.
You kind of need the effect, like, to see that it's working.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just some guy going, ah! By the way, the voice actor for this is the same person who played him on the pilot for Fox's Generation X show. So he played Banshee twice.
I thought I read that. Maybe. Oh, never mind. I was reading X-Men trivia last night. It was something else. Oh, but we also get to see Xavier use the escape hatch in his floaty wheelchair, which just dumps him on the floor.
It's like, this could have been more dignified, Xavier. But hey, do what you gotta do.
Everyone loves a slide.
Oh man, that would be great. So Moira and Banshee run in, and he's like, Juggernaut just kidnapped my space girlfriend that I just met. And they're like, what? And he's like, no, she's totally real because I love her. And I'm here thinking, that is not how things work. I mean, I really love chocolate cake, but that doesn't mean there's one sitting right in front of me right now.
Really, you would think after he just had, like, his inner astral self escape and wreak havoc, why would they just suddenly believe him when he says he's got a space girlfriend?
Right? I mean, he's there because he's like, I think I'm a little unstable right now. They have very good reason not to believe him.
Yeah, we already think he's having some sort of breakdown.
Plus the fact that he's saying, hey guys, an alien just showed up.
Because she totally wants to get with me.
Yeah. If anybody in your life just walks up to you and says, hey guys, some weirdo in armor kidnapped my space girlfriend who traveled across time and space to be with me.
And is descended from birds.
You would look at them. You would be like, okay, buddy. And then you would turn around, go to the internet and be like, you will not believe what this guy just said.
And if he's a real good friend, you're probably calling in somebody to like deal with that situation.
Yeah. The bird woman, Lilandra, who actually does exist, contrary to what we are saying. Because in this universe, there actually is a space bird alien who...
Right. A nervous breakdown and a space girlfriend descended from birds. Equally plausible scenarios in this universe.
Yes. So she has, in fact, been kidnapped by Juggernaut. Oh, and this episode is also the seed of the I'm the Juggernaut, bitch meme that inspired that horrible line reading from X3.
Right. Where the Juggernaut showed up for absolutely no reason except to deliver that line.
But anyway, on to a plot that actually sort of makes sense. So Juggernaut has kidnapped her because he wants the crystal, and Black Tom Cassidy, who is Banshee's, what, brother?
Yes.
Cousin?
Brother.
Brother is the one behind it. So Lilandra, because she is also, in addition to being a space bird, is also psychic, and that's how she's been contacting Xavier. So she beams him a vision of the castle that she's being kept in, because again, they're in Scotland.
Mm.
And he's like, I'm seeing this crest. And then Banshee's like, oh, maybe he's not crazy. I recognize that. Let's go get her. And then the X-Men show up too, because Jean's like, you know, from her hospital bed is like, the Phoenix is sensing something, and wraps them all in fire and flies them out. Which, considering what a pain the TSA is right now, there are, I guess, worse ways to travel.
Yeah. You can take as much shampoo as you want on the Phoenix Express.
So they get there just in time to fight. And also, just to add some interest to the mix, then another alien shows up. We get Gladiator.
Who has honor and is honor bound.
And a mohawk.
Yes.
And honor and...
But his is a right ways mohawk.
His is the correct ways, the forward ways, instead of Lilandra's, like, sideways. Horizontal ways across her head. Wait, I guess, no, horizontal ways would be like if it was going over her face, right? Which it isn't.
I don't know. Vertical would be up her face.
Okay, now I want to, like, explain this in medical terms, and I'm pretty sure the term is sagittal? No, sagittal is the correct way.
In physics terms, it is normal to the surface of her skull and the typical direction of a mohawk.
And in medical terms, it is following the coronal plane.
There you go.
Okay, now that we have adequately described Lilandra's feather hair, Gladiator has a regular mohawk.
Yes. Oh, also, this episode gives us a piece of information as the Cassidy brothers are fighting that their powers don't hurt each other, which is kind of a thing in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, related mutants can't really use their powers against each other. You see this with Havoc and Cyclops. You see this with Banshee and Black Tom. And I forget who else you see this with, but you see it come up. This is actually a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think it comes up in the comics too, like with the whole the Emperor Vulcan thing in the comics. Because there's, hey, surprise, and we only found this out a couple years ago. There's a third Summers brother, and he's horrible. And I think he's dead now, but anyway.
Aw.
Well, he was dumb. But anyway, we get a super awesome fight. And we should probably mention this whole thing is because Lilandra stole this big-ass gem called the Emkron Crystal, which we sort of hinted at because Juggernaut's all about magic crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing is like the MacGuffin right now.
Biggest, shiniest crystal in all the world. In all the universe.
It's the size of a cat, basically.
And not like a small cat, like a good-sized cat.
Like a palace cat, maybe. Like a big cat. Maybe like a lynx, even. But this thing, if you have it, you can like control, you can use its power to control the universe or something.
Yeah, it's not clearly explained, but we do know that if bad people get it, bad things will happen.
Yeah, and since Lilandra's evil brother Deken became emperor, she's like, oh no, and grabbed it and ran.
You mean Emperor DeBag?
Every line of dialogue Deken says can be said by Darth Vader. or the Emperor, like kind of interchangeably.
Also, it sounded kind of like they had a kind of an electronic filter combined on his voice.
Oh, they definitely did.
But we also find out that the Phoenix is the child of the crystal. So that's where the Phoenix came from.
Yeah. And that's why she's like hanging around and seems to be like, oh, I have to do this thing now. And anyway, I'm trying to remember how this episode ends. I know how the next episode begins.
I don't know either. I didn't write that down.
Well, anyway, the point is, in the next episode, the Starjammers, we get space pirates, and it's awesome.
Before that, though, there's like a psychic blast that goes out. I don't remember what exactly causes it, but you see like a bunch of other heroes. You see Captain Britain. We see the Hellfire Club. We see Doctor Strange.
Yeah, through like all these episodes, you keep getting these other glimpses of other Marvel characters. It's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. But then we go to space again.
Then we go to space again.
Because of space pirates.
Yeah. And so they're on a ship. And for some reason, this one line that Gambit says to Rogue, every now and then it'll just pop into my head when they're looking at the crystal. And Rogue's like, oh, that thing is, you know, huge or whatever. I forget what line she says. But the line that Gambit says is, you like it, Cher? I'll get you one for Christmas.
Yes.
And every now and then I'll be looking at something that'll just pop into my head. I'll be like, hey. But yeah, Gambit and Rogue. Woo.
But then the space pirates take Scott hostage.
Yeah, the space pirates show up. Well, they have the important thing here is they have this like stun beam thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set for Shi'ar because it knocks the lander out like nothing. And everyone else starts waking up. And their captain shows up and is like, set it for humans. And they're like, but sir. And he's like, do what I say. And it knocks them all out, including the captain, who is a human.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And of course, Jean gets a flash of the guy's mind.
Yep. And then later, when Wolverine is like, Jean, tell me what's wrong. I can't tell you that he's Scott's father. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so Cyclops' dad is a space pirate.
Which made me think about the meme I saw last week where it's Deadpool talking to Cable. And he's like, so your grandpa's a space pirate. And Cable's like, yeah, coolness skips a generation in my family.
It pretty much does. So they get both the Starjammers, who are the space pirates, who in this fight scene, by the way, it's pretty great because Hepzibah is there. Hepzibah is this like space cat lady. So when Rogue's fighting her, she has her by the tail and is just swinging her around while the voice actress, the poor voice actress, is going, meow, meow, meow. I was dying. Sad meows. But anyway, so they get the Emkron crystal and Cyclops. Because he was, like, shooting his eye beams off and stuff. And they're like, we're going to make a deal with Deken to give him this crystal. And Cyclops is like, you can't do that. And then Corsair, who's the lead of the head of the Starjammers, is like, you idiot. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give him you too. And you're going to kill him. And Cyclops is like, I can't do that. And plus, why would he trust you? He's like, he doesn't trust me. That's why I'm going to give him you. And you're the one who's going to kill him. And we find out that Deken is responsible for Corsair's wife's murder, and that's why they hate him, and blah, 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 blah. Everything is sad. And they both bond over, like, girlfriends or something.
Whatever.
Summer's drama is, like, the least interesting thing going on here.
But he does come up with a bonehead plan to give him the crystal to trick him into getting killed. Because what's the worst possible thing that could happen right now is this guy gets the crystal.
Which, oh, wait. He does, because guess what? This guy is smart enough to figure that Corsair is going to try to kill him. So he got a shapeshifter member of the, like, Royal Guard to pose as him. So Cyclops shoots that guy instead. And then Deken pops up from the background like, you fool!
I've been standing up here this whole time! And that's pretty much where this episode ends. They all run away.
And Deken gets ultimate power.
Yep. And then that takes us to part 5, Child of Light.
So the ultimate power is apparently to turn into a crystal.
Yes. Or something. To go into the crystal and then get to control the crystal mud that makes up the inner workings of the crystal.
Yeah, which he turns into this, like, crappy, crappy landscape.
Yeah.
It's just the worst thing. It's like, okay, It reminded me of the background levels of like fighter games. You know how they just have to have something in the background so you're not fighting against a blank screen?
Yeah. Imagine the stuff that's in the background on Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah. Except slightly less blood pits.
Just a little.
And so this guy, he's trapped in there. He's running around. He's laughing. Ha ha. I am made of crystal. I control everything. And all across the earth, they're getting flashes of like horrible things happening. Like Alpha Flight is in Greece.
Right. Because there's something like a black hole near the sun, whatever, natural disasters on Earth.
Yeah. So what I love is, you know, you're getting all these other, you know, Marvel heroes like Spider-Man's helping out in New York.
I think I saw Sunspot.
Yeah. Sunspot's in Japan. Alpha Flight is in Greece. Alpha Flight's Canadian, so I'm not too sure what they were doing in Greece. Like, were they all on vacation? I don't know.
They were visiting the Parthenon.
I guess. Maybe they got a Groupon. I don't know.
We also saw Storm's nephew, and there's somebody else. I don't remember who. Go, team, go.
Go, go, go. So Jean is like, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to, like, fly the crystal into the sun or whatever. And then she's usually like, okay, I'm going to take all the good things that I have learned from all of you to help me on my death or whatever. And she's going through all the X-Men. I've learned this from you. I've learned this from you. And I really wish that it had just been like pop up somebody, like, I don't know, Jubilee or some. I love Jubilee, but just pop up somebody and has absolutely nothing to say about them. And it just freeze frames on their face.
Well, she already didn't say anything about Gambit or Rogue.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't thought of that. But I wish they'd just shown their face and just been silent. So she takes it and she flies into the sun and they're like, oh, and now she's dead. And Cyclops is sad. And so is Wolverine. And they both let out a long, sad Jean.
Don't forget they defeated the bad guy by like becoming a tree or something.
Oh, yeah. That was so weird. I don't even know what happened there.
Yeah.
Like, I could go back and rewatch it, and I don't think I would still know.
But then there's, like, the big sorrowful goodbye, and Scott is, like, waving.
Like, she's gonna see. She's flying into a sun. Okay, and if it makes him feel better, whatever.
But, like, waving like a little kid waves at the parade or something. And then we get heart-wrenching Jean from both Wolverine and Scott.
So it's more like Jean, because Wolverine has like a 5-pack-a-day voice.
Yep. Even though they could not possibly affect him in any way.
And then, of course, Lilandra is now next in line for the throne. So she's like, well, I got to stay here and take care of some stuff. Hey, Xavier, you want to stay here and be my consort or whatever? And he's like, I mean, I would, but I got some stuff to take care of back on Earth, too. So basically, they're just going to be having like a brain affair over across several galaxies.
Yeah.
So that's that, I guess. And then at the end, it's like, oh, everyone is sad, whatever. I guess we haven't seen the last of her or something. I mean, at the time, I was like, oh my god, they killed Jean. And I was like, sad?
Is this the first time they killed her in the series?
I think so.
Okay.
And I was like, sad, but I was a little happy too, because I didn't like Jean.
And you were like, oh, Scott, you should have gone with her.
But I was like, wow, I can't believe they did that. I mean, she was a main character. This isn't like when they killed Morph. This is like a thing. And then she came back and my mind was like blown again, but for a different reason.
So, I think that's the Phoenix Saga.
I think it was. And despite all our joking, it actually is like a pretty good story arc. It's just that the cartoon is so very 90s and with 90s writing and constrained by 90s style.
Right. And it's funny. They took a story arc, a 5-part story arc, and still made it episode of the week.
Yeah. Good on them for doing that because, you know, the whole episodic show even really thing was barely done at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not really for cartoons. But yeah, that was the Phoenix Saga. I had fun watching it.
So now it's time for the news.
It's kind of a light week. I guess everybody's gearing up for Comic-Con.
recuperating from the fourth.
Yeah, one or the other. Speaking of the fourth, it was officially on the 4th of July that Thor Ragnarok started filming. Taika Waititi tweeted a picture of everybody's, you know, chairs, like writer and executive producer and director and stuff like that on the set. And then other people like Chris Hemsworth and Mark Ruffalo have started posting pictures on their Twitters and Instagrams. So keep an eye out for stuff on there. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
And so it's the 75th anniversary for Captain America.
Yay!
They decided he needed a really big statue.
I mean, obviously. I'm looking at the sketch of... I'm not sure if this is the actual sketch of the statue, or... Well, it does say... Okay, it says an exclusive look at the sketch design of a new Captain America statue. And I kind of love it.
It's pretty fantastic. I think it would look real good in my living room.
Yeah, they're making a 13-foot-tall bronze cap statue. Well, they're unveiling it at San Diego Comic-Con. And then it's heading east on a cross-country trip. And then on August 10th, they are going to be dedicating it in Brooklyn's Prospect Park because Cap is just a kid from Brooklyn. That's okay. I really love this. I have a friend that's moving to New York soon, and I am going to have to bug her for pictures.
So as they're moving it, are they doing like a city-by-city tour?
I don't know. It says that it's moving east on a trip, so maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to take it across the country anyways, you might as well let everybody look at it.
Oh, I hope so. I'll, like, drive north to go see it.
Maybe I'll be on the way.
In comic news, a 15-year-old black girl is going to replace Tony Stark as Iron Man.
So Marvel has entered our crate giveaway competition. But they forgot to tell us who they would cast.
Yeah, so this character named Riri Williams, it looked like she was going to be the next War Machine. But it turns out that she is going to be getting an actual iron suit of her own. Because, okay, what her thing was she was a super genius, went to MIT, and reverse engineered her own suit. So in an upcoming issue, I guess, of Invincible Iron Man, she's going to be taking over because Tony's kind of crumbling.
When is Tony not falling apart?
I know. He's either falling apart or building himself back up. Tony Stark is like a wave. And Brian Michael Bendis has some really interesting stuff to say about it. There's a link to his Time interview in the article that we're linking to, which is on io9. And in addition to talking about the actual character, he's talking about the introduction of a lot of these, you know, younger heroes and heroes of color into the Marvel comics. And it's actually a pretty interesting read. So check it out. And I think that might be all in the news.
Yeah, that's all the news.
And hey, Mr. Paracletes actually tweeted that last article to us earlier, too.
Yep. Thank you.
So thank you for that.
Because we do not always have the time or the energy to look up the news. So if you guys could do all the work for us, that would be super.
And feedback, a bunch of people actually tweeted us about that. Andy Migna and tweeted us asking, not following the recent comics, so thoughts on the new Iron Man as Riri Williams. I'm really interested in that, both because of the, we know that Tony Stark was, you know, kind of the young super genius thing, but we never saw that Tony Stark in the 616 comics. Mm-hmm. So I want to see this whole, you know, young person who's doing all this stuff, but with the added thing of, okay, so she's growing up in a universe where she already knows this stuff's possible. And she has somebody to kind of look up to and bug about this if she wants to. And she's also, you know, a minority female.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that does add a really interesting twist on this while still not wandering so far from something that people don't know. I think it's cool. I really want to read more about her. I want to know, is she, you know, kind of the insufferable genius that he is, or what's her personality going to be like?
Is she a character that has been in the series, or they're introducing her?
Okay, well, she's been in the series before because they were, it was, everyone was like, oh, they're going to be setting her up as the new War Machine. They're going to be setting her up as a new War Machine. She was first introduced in, I'm checking, Invincible Iron Man Volume 2, Number 7.
Okay.
In response to that, Mr. Paracletes said, Marvel wants the collector crate from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But they didn't tell us who they were going to cast, so right now they're not eligible.
Yeah.
So, you know, send a follow-up, Marvel, if you would like to be entered to win our contest.
Yeah, although I really got to say that's an unfair advantage, Marvel. I mean, you already licensed the things. You can probably grab them anytime you want. Beth at TNSBAW said in response to the, why is Alpha Flight in Greece? Well, they're hanging on out on a space station in the comics now, so I guess they like their vacations. And in response to Beast said, fantastic, take a drink, Mr. Paraclete said, also, whenever he makes a literary quote, you'll be done before you're halfway through. That's another thing he does all the time. But hey, and I think that's all the feedback we currently have.
So next week, we'll get back to our Daredevil arc. We're going to be talking Season 2, Episode 3, New York's Finest.
Normally, you can come check us out on our live streams at www.geeks.live.
And it's hard to say what service we'll be using next time because it's a surprise every week.
It really is. Just show up. Be surprised.
If you go to geeks.live, that will direct you to the proper channel.
Yeah. And if not, yell at Starpie.
Yeah, we don't do that part.
You can also find us at our website, legendsofshield.com. Our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. We love hearing your voice. You can find us at our Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, all at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/GunnaGeek. And our forums are forums.GunnaGeek.com or search GunnaGeek on Tapatalk. And I guess next on Geeks.live tomorrow, on Thursdays, after us when we record, is Starling Tribune, same time.
There, if you check out Geeks.live, I think there's a live cast of something almost every night of the week.
Pretty much. We're like our own channel at this point. It's kind of awesome. It's like, if you don't like what's on primetime, come check us out. And if you do like what's on primetime, come check us out because we're probably talking about it.
Right. That's why you have a DVR.
Yeah, seriously. And even, yeah, use the DVR and come watch us because then you can go back and fast forward past all the commercials.
Yeah, it's really just more efficient that way.
Plus, it's an election year if you're in the US. So you're missing out on all the horrible stuff because I can't tell you how much I hate election year commercials.
I can't tell you how much I hate election year Facebook.
Yeah, that's true.
The worst.
But you know what we do love? We love hearing from y'all. We love everybody who contacts us on Twitter and Facebook and everybody who sends us news. Like we said, we love you.
And everyone that participates in our contest, which is going on until July 20th. So let us know what Marvel character you would like to gender swap into the movie universe and who you want to play them. And you could win sweet, sweet swag.
Sweet, sweet swag.
So until next time, I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.